Welcome back to the Dog Gone Wrong podcast, where myself and others share their mistakes and help you lift the guilt burden. I'm your host, Sarah Roper, the multi-dog maven.
Hello, and welcome to another solo episode with me. Today, I wanted to talk to you about Moss, about breeding, and a very big mistake that I made many years ago with my own actions. And it came out of a need for money, unfortunately, and I'm definitely not proud of it. So with Moss, I had bred from his mum, Jazz, and she'd had the first litter and she'd done it all herself. She gave me three beautiful boys, and I then went on a mission to try and find her another stud dog to try and breed from again. Now, this wasn't because I wanted to breed for money or anything like that. Jazz was assessed and was a dog that went into schools, scout groups, brownies, things like that, to teach children how to approach dogs and body language and things like that. She was temperament tested, and she was a brilliant little sausage dog, or miniature long haired Dachshund. And I wanted to be able to continue her temperament within the breed because it was majorly lacking within the breed. And I obviously wanted a bitch to be able to do that, to be able to continue that line further and spread the good temperament more. So when she only gave me boys, they all went to lovely homes, and I went on a journey to try and find a different stud dog. And we had a couple of, I'd found a lovely stud dog. He was a champion in the ring, beautiful, quiet temperament, lovely. And we tried a couple of times, I think it was, and I'd get really excited. You know, she'd be mated a couple of times within a few days at the right time. And I'd get really excited and then take her at 4 or 5 weeks for a scan and she'd not be pregnant. So we got to the point where I was working with the stud dog owner and went to her local vets who specialised in reproduction, and we kept having tests. And I can't quite remember which way round it was, whether it was the swabs, the vaginal swabs, or whether it was bloods, that one of them wasn't showing correctly or wasn't showing the levels changing as it should. So we had to do the less common option. And I was driving all the way to Wales pretty much every other day, I think every day for about 5 days at one point, just to make sure that she was ready and, you know, all the levels looked right to be able to be mated, to make sure that we got her properly this time. Of course, this happened to be, you know, one of the times happened to be around Christmas when it's snowing and you were driving on all those things. But, you know, I genuinely believed that, you know, in breeding from her for the betterment of the breed. She finally did get pregnant after all these tests, and we had quite a traumatic birth, as in her contraction started in the early hours of the morning, maybe 5-6 a.m. I remember nothing particularly happening, as in contractions were visible, but we couldn't really, she wasn't progressing, she wasn't producing a puppy. It was a Sunday, of course, so it was out of hours care, and took her to the vets and they gave her a shot of oxytocin and, you know, kind of sent us home and hoped for the best. Fast forward, nothing really happened, and then we ended up taking her back in the late afternoon, early evening, and they tried again with an oxy shot, and then they decided to keep her in for a cesarean. Now, the whole time I'd got a stethoscope and checking for heartbeats and things like that, and at this point the heartbeats started slowing, which is not a good sign. And left there, I'd offered to help out. They didn't seem to have many staff on, with it being a Sunday evening, and they said, nope, we'll be fine. Basically, come back in an hour. I hadn't eaten all day for worrying, so, you know, dashed off to like a local takeaway place, grabbed something. And while we were there, I got a phone call from the vet saying that she would have to spay Jazz, do I give my permission, because her uterine wall was so thin, flimsy, frail, that she wouldn't be able to sew it back up. It needed to be removed. And I said, I was obviously anxious, and while I didn't plan on breeding from her a third time, it was, you know, I was more worried, would she still be able to provide milk if she was spayed? Because would she not have the right hormones to do that? I was quite anxious about it. But of course, if that's what it took for me to keep my dog, then of course, yes. I asked her how many puppies while she was on the phone. She said 5. And Yeah, and she said all the pups were doing well and they were all boys, which is just such lore, but you know. As we pulled back up, it was dark by this point, and you can see through the frosted glass windows that people were rushing around, and I knew that was the operation room, and I was worried. And you could tell that a few more people had turned up, and one was shouting at another and telling them to move and get away and things like that. And that's, I got this, you know, dread feeling in the pit of my stomach. After a while, we were asked to go in and then delivered the news that Jazz hadn't made it. Yeah. The puppies had, but Jazz hadn't made it. And none of this, it just was such a shock and it didn't sit right. I asked to see her, went in to see her, and you know, said my goodbyes. It was not what I expected in the slightest. And I took some fur, and I still wear a necklace with some of her ash and her fur in. It's called Ashes Into Glass, which on the back says Jazz the Tart with the Heart, because she was the biggest flirt ever. I brought 5 little tiny milk slugs home. The vets had tried to get the puppies to feed to get the initial colostrum, or the first milk, which has got all the goodness and the immunity and the antibodies from the mother, but she hadn't dropped down any milk. Yeah, so I'd been prepared, because I, you know, you do breeding responsibly, you do expect sometimes to have to bottle feed one or two, help them in feeding in some way. So I did have some stuff at home, but that was the last thing I expected. So stayed up all night, you know, feeds every 2 hours, but when you're doing that times 5 and then stimulating them to go to the toilet, which is what the mother would have done, and making sure everyone's settled, you know, by the time you've finished, there's not a big gap between finishing that and starting the next round of feeds. I remember the next day ringing the vets to ask for a post-mortem, because none of it felt right, and why would vets be shouting at other people? And when I rang the vets, I said, you know, it's me, I'm ringing about my dog, she passed away. And the receptionist said, I won't give names, but the person who was the boss of the whole vets, the top vet, was on his, oh yeah, yeah, basically as if I'd asked for this when I hadn't. Oh yeah, yeah, he's on his way with the body to another practice, basically, so she could have an autopsy or postmortem. And I said, hang on a minute, I haven't asked for that. I am ringing to ask for that, but well, you've taken it upon yourselves to do this without permission or without request. And she seemed a bit confused, which I found strange. And why would the top vet be doing this themselves rather than, you know, a veterinary nurse, another member of staff, whatever. I'm still hand-rearing puppies. And after about 5 days, I think I got, you know, they rang to check how the puppies were and said, oh, we'd like to send out a veterinary nurse just to check that everything's going okay. And I said, yeah, that's fine. And of course, I've been very careful of, because they'd had no colostrum, they were at higher risk than other, you know, newborn puppies of infection and disease and things like that. So I'd been very careful. If I'd, you know, exited the house, even if it was just for a few seconds, I was showering and getting changed and then going back to the puppies. There was, you know, the hand wash, hand rub next to where the puppies were. I'd been super, super careful, because the last thing, you know, I couldn't deal with losing not only my girl, but these beautiful little tiny puppies. And the VN, a veterinary nurse, turned up and she proceeded to lecture me about cleanliness, which obviously that's what I was doing, but then turned up in her uniform, assuming straight from work, and then just bent down straight past, like going past my kind of potions and things like that, the alcohol rub and all of that, to just handle the dogs without washing her hands, which obviously I wasn't very happy with at all. As time progressed, we did lodge a complaint with the vets. They refused to give us the operation sheet. And when we did get the operation sheet, it had been tampered with, you know, written over a few times, things scribbled out. And I was accused of breeding for money. I was accused of having a fat dog. We'll come back to that in a second. And also, I was accused of trying to save money because I didn't go to that vet's for the scan. So they were trying to make me out to be a puppy farmer, which was the last thing that I was. When we got the post-mortem results back, we'd realised by this point that the guy who'd done the post-mortem was the guy that the top vet at our vets had graduated with. So it was not you know, unbiased. He'd obviously taken the body and said, can you just sort this out and, you know, cover our backs. Or that's how it felt. And yeah, they'd said that I think when she went in with five puppies inside her, she was 6 kilos. And when, so after she died, they'd said that they'd weighed her and she was 8 kilos. Now, each of those puppies, which I was obviously weighing religiously to ensure that they could survive and all of this, each of those puppies was 200 grams, like give or take 5 grams, but in total, it added up to 1 kilo. So she should have been 5 kilos after birth. And they were trying to tell me that not only was she fat, but also she had other problems and that she shouldn't have been bred from. And it didn't. I was like, what? Really? Really? What we'd managed to figure out was they were understaffed and there was one person at the time of the actual cesarean, not after the fact and before we turned back up. There was one vet operating and one trainee, not fully qualified, but trainee veterinary nurse reviving puppies. That left no one keeping an eye on Jazz's vitals when she's, you know, under anaesthetic. And it was the propofol that took her. She just went too deep and nobody was able to monitor those levels. And that's how she passed away. We did put a big complaint in with the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons, the RCVS. And there was a black mark against that particular vet practice name for quite a while, and that the particular vet that we dealt with no longer worked there. The vets provided all the milk for the time that before they were weaned, other than that first tube, which I had at home anyway, and they never sent us the bill. I think that is admission of guilt, if nothing else. So it was horrific. Not only had I lost my girl, it was the circumstances, it was the accusations, it was everything else, and it was hard. It was exhausting raising these puppies, which, of course, were everything to me at that point. Of course, after all that, despite not having a girl out of the litter, of course, I was going to keep one. I couldn't not keep one. And I'd got my name down for a... The thing is, I wasn't going to keep a bitch anyway. It was a very good friend of mine that got named down for a bitch and she was going to breed and then I was going to have one back. And I'd got my name down for a curly coat retriever that were born around the same kind of fortnight. But I just said, no, I can't do this, and kept one of the boys, which is Moss. I struggled to bond with Moss as, you know, as he matured. I did everything with him. I kind of went through the motions because I was grieving and I was grieving heavily. But he turned into a lovely, quiet boy. He's still with me now at 13. And a breeder approached me when he was quite young because they wanted to use him. Primarily because of who his dad was, being a champion, and they could see that that would have been their only way to get hold of those lines. I had links to this particular breeder, as in I'd got Merlin, my flat coat, off them, and they happened to breed mini long Daxies as well. I should have known then, but I let them use him because he was a maiden sire, or, you know, novice sire, not sired before. So it would be good to see, you know, I did obviously want to carry on the line. I did plan on breeding from him. So if someone else wanted to use him for the first time, at least we could see. So they used him and he managed to, you know, do the deed, which is quite hard in Daxies because of the length of their backs and things like that. And they had puppies. I went to see them. All was well. And then I ended up out walking with Moss not long after, then 6 months after, in the local town doing dog walking as well, like covering for some of my staff. I'd got Moss out with me and some kind of paid dog walking clients as dogs. And this crazy woman, she'll forgive me for that, I know she will, comes kind of running over, oh my God, that's a beautiful shaded cream. And long story short, she was a local breeder and she wanted to, was he entire? Was it a boy? Could she use him? Blah, blah, blah. And I says, it's definitely a discussion to have. So, you know, and I met her girl, Tika, and she was beautiful, dark shaded red. Complimented Moss's faults physically, and she was just a very nice girl, very outgoing, confident, and just lovely. So I was very pleased about that. She had some beautiful puppies I obviously went to see, especially with her being local, and she kept a bitch back, a bitch puppy, that was the spit of Moss and very similar temperament to Moss, quiet, calm, and she was beautiful. And I obviously kept in touch and, you know, with natter about dogs, as you do. And I remember saying to her, after I'd seen this puppy, she called her Sophie. After I'd seen Sophie at about a year old, I said, look, if you ever want to repeat that same mating and use Moss again with Tika, please let me know, because I'd love to do it and I'd love to have a bitch from it. Kind of in between times, the other breeder that I knew that had used Moss wanted to use him again, and more red flags had started happening, as in I started hearing bad stories about their dealings within their other breed. And I knew they didn't, I was showing Moss as well, and he was doing really well in the breed ring, and there was lots of whispers against this breeder. When I first met them, I didn't know any better, but you know, you kind of, you grow and you start to put things into different pockets and realise things over time. And I'd had a Christmas card from them, and it had said something along the lines of, oh, if you know anyone for a mini long puppy, let us know, or send them our way, because we could, that'd really help pay the mortgage or something like that. And I remember cringing at that, because it's like, what? Yeah, they weren't particularly responsible, and they did approach me to use Moss again, and I said yes, and I really should have never done it. I knew better, and I still did it. I can't remember the circumstances, but at that point I was very, very low on funds, and I should have never done it, and definitely not for money. I'm not proud of it. Not proud of it in the slightest. Because what made it worse was they brought the bitch and they dropped her off for a week to, you know, basically could have kept her while, you know, matings happened, and saved them travelling backwards and forwards. And I'm all, you know, I was always game for another Daxie in the house. And when she turned up, she was, you know, her coat wasn't great. Her feet were really long and fluffy. Her nails needed cutting. And I still did it. I'm so annoyed at myself, even now. I sorted her feet out. I sorted her coat out. I couldn't not do that. And she went back, and you know, they run come a few weeks later to say they'd had four puppies. And I said, oh, I'm coming that way, passing as I'm going up north to see family, can I come and see them? Yeah, of course you can, not a problem. And I think at this point I got my name down for Fern, a different Daxie bitch, but you know, I was curious to see what these puppies were like. So there's four beautiful puppies. I remember taking some pictures, and yeah, fine, no issues. I can't remember the mix of sexes, but it was as they described. Time progresses. I think I'd got Fern, and I've managed to look on the Kennel Club website and check, you, because you can look at your own dogs and then what progeny or offspring they've had. And what I noticed was out of that litter particularly, there was five puppies registered. And I was like, but there wasn't five, there was four. So I rang the breeders and I said, what's this all about? Because I'm thinking, well, if there was five puppies born and one died later on, they'd have said, you know, if they've registered them between time, you know, like, and I'd seen them at a very, very young age. So I didn't get it. And I said, why is the five puppies registered? And they said, it's because this particular bitch has already had four litters. So what we're going to do is we're going to use Moss again next year with this same bitch. But because we can't register more than four litters with the Kennel Club, we'll just keep a bitch back out of that litter and put that paperwork on it. And I went, no you're not. And I got this whole spiel of, well, you don't understand, we've been breeding for 40 years 50 years, I don't know, a long time, but you know, you'll get to grips with this as you grow up almost. And I didn't like it. It also highlighted the fact that I'd made the mistake, and then of course they'd made it worse, but it was all, I still feel it was all my fault. They wouldn't have had that opportunity otherwise. So I put a complaint in with the Kennel Club, and because they were assured breeders. Now, this is not to say that all assured breeders are rubbish, because they're really not, and I think they've recently scrapped that scheme anyway. There's a lot of changes going on at the minute anyway. But basically, the breeders, it was mother and daughter, and they were both separately registered as assured breeders, even though they lived at the same house. So after lots of going backwards and forwards with the Kennel Club, they took them off the assured breeder scheme, or took one of them off, and the other one still managed to continue with it. They did that, but they couldn't cancel or remove the extra paperwork, because they didn't know which one wasn't real. And of course, they came up with some rubbish stories about how one had died and, you know, all of this, which I knew wasn't the case. And I did have the recording of the phone call, but obviously you've got to be very careful of what evidence you can use without permission. And I still to this day will look, and I know that there are puppies and dogs out there with moss in them, and I just wish I'd never done it, because I also remember the shame. And you know, that's me being responsible for irresponsibly bred puppies, which is everything that I am against. Everything. I remember ringing another Dachshund exhibitor and breeder who was very well known and respected within the breed and who I really liked and respected. He'd actually helped me choose Moss out of that litter, as in which one to keep. And he had the father of Fern, and I knew that, and we'd had conversations about this breeder that had, you know, the irresponsible breeder before. And the last thing I wanted was him to hear on the grapevine what I'd done, but my mess up, basically, my ill judgment, or, well, yeah. So I rang him and took a deep breath and told him, and he gave me the biggest bollocking ever, which I totally deserved. He respected the fact that at least I'd called him and told him, but it's a mistake I will never, ever make again. Of course, the positive was that I did get my Tika and Moss puppy from the good local breeder, and that happens to be Ripple, and she's been just the best. She's been brilliant. But yeah, I feel like I've been a hypocrite, but I tell you what, it's not happening again. I mean, there are now things on Moss. So if anyone tried to register puppies from Moss, the Kennel Club have to check with me first and get my verbal consent before they can register any puppies. There's that restriction being put on there. So, you know, the numbers and things like that won't happen again. I mean, he's 13 now. I've got his sperm frozen, but he's not going to be, he's not going to be physically bred from. But considering I am so against that kind of breeding, to know that I have been a part of that, I'm definitely not proud of at all. And yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about breeding, about rearing, about genetics, about kind of everything that goes with it. And I know that I have so much more to learn. But it just comes back to, please be careful when you are looking for a breeder. And make sure you are confident and happy within them. Because I got it wrong. You know, like when I went to get Merlin from this same breeder that I ended up putting the complaint in with, I did my research to the best of my ability at that point. I emailed a load of breeders of flat coat retrievers and said, look, I'm a dog walker. I've got two Dachshunds. This is my lifestyle. I've never had a flat coat before. This is what I want to do with them. You know, like really kind of gave a good outline of what I was after and who I am. And they were one of the few breeders who got back to me. And I liked it. I liked the fact that they got back to me, not only because they'd actually replied, but also the fact that they bred mini long Daxies as well. So I thought, well, you know, this dog's going to have grown up with the breed that I've got, so we're not going to have any issues. Quite naively, but, you know, that was my logic at the time. And I went every week. I went and met the bitch before she had the puppies. Loved her. She was lovely. I went when the pups were, like, 5 days old, something like that. And then I went literally every week until I could bring Merlin home. And there was no red flags to me. It was the scale they were doing it on and their actual breeding practices that were less than desirable, can we say. I also wonder whether within that time as well, the mother, she was elderly, and whether that had affected things as well for them to go downhill. But yeah, you know, I'd had every best intention, and I got the most amazing boy, as in Merlin the flatty. However, when his back went, he had a slip disc at 3.5, and when I rung them and to tell them, it wasn't in, you know, this is like before, like, there'd been any disagreements or anything like that. It was just me being responsible and telling the breeder of, this has happened with my dog, I thought you should know. It wasn't in an attacking way, it wasn't in a way that, you know, for them to be like, oh my God, you know, we've done really wrong. It was just, as a breeder myself, I'd want to know if there was something wrong so you can start to make decisions about future breeding if, you know, there is a likelihood that it's genetic or anything like that. It was quite a matter-of-fact call. And the response at that point was, well, do you think you did too much with him when he was younger? It wasn't, oh God, I'm really sorry to hear that, but, you know, we really appreciate you letting us know. Yeah, that's kind of where the red flags, I suppose, really started. Yeah, please be careful. Please be careful when you are looking into breeders, because it's not, genetics and health and temperament are all equally as important, as is how they are reared in the environment, what experiences they've had, what the mother's stress levels have been like while she's been pregnant and she's feeding. You know, all of that, it makes for one big mixing pot of the dog that you're going to end up with. It's a minefield. It really, really is. But yeah, I thought I'd share that with you, and please don't beat me up over it, because I beat myself up over it. I will be back next week with another brilliant guest and hopefully a little bit more upbeat than today's subject. Bye.
So I joined the Multi Maven crew this time last year. Initially, I joined the 1 week challenge, really enjoyed it. And off the back of that, decided to give the crew a go. Really didn't know what to expect whatsoever. And I especially didn't understand or realise how good the turbo calls were going to be. Broken up into to 3 5-minute bite-sized chunks of training. In between, we all then gather together and listen to how that's gone. Sarah then advises tips and tricks to try and achieve the results that we're looking for. And they're really, really good. So, you know, usually in the morning, I'm probably more of a morning trainer. So the mornings are probably better for me. What I like about it is the accountability. I know that I need to be somewhere, but it also integrates really well into my working life as well, in and around things, whereby, you know, I do go to training classes, but a training class is an hour long. You have to travel to and from. This just encourages the training in your home throughout the day and starts to become a lifetime habit. And there's been times when I've been a bit lazy and I haven't done it. And I really do notice the difference in my dogs, because the dogs just really, really enjoy learning. So it's been really good. And I'd say my biggest accomplishment since starting with the crew was probably last week, when I was struggling to get my dog Hugo, who's just doing level one in rally and dog sports, to walk past tennis balls for the sign distractions. And he nailed it in 3 5-minute sessions. And I was so pleased. I've now got to proof that, because I now need to go out and I need to do it in different areas. But yeah, if you're looking for somebody to train who just gives you feedback as it is, it's like having a friend on the side, really, rather than a trainer, with compassion and empathy for both you as an owner and for the dogs, having been through most of the situations that we're going through, you know, you've got to give it a go. And the other thing is that, you know, the WhatsApp group that we've got, you know, there's conversations that are going on along all the time. We recently met up at Edition Dog Live, and it was really like meeting old friends. It was absolutely brilliant. And the community just needs to grow. So join us and have some fun.
I wanted to take a second to make you an offer to join my membership. This is on WhatsApp, and you get weekly videos of things to work on, new themes each month, 2 turbo training calls a week where we all train together on WhatsApp and work on what you want to get that progress and accountability, monthly catch-up calls, and so much more. Ideal for if you get a bit stuck or you keep putting off the training with your dog, and absolutely perfect if you're on your journey into dog sports too. We're currently celebrating 1 whole year of the Maven crew, and as part of that, I am offering you, my wonderful listener, the chance to get in and try it out for free for a whole month. Drop me a message on socials or email me, sarah@multidogmaven.co.uk. That's sarah@multidogmaven.co.uk, and get the link to get in. Don't be shy. Reach out. I would love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dog Gone Wrong podcast. If you could do me a quick favour, like or follow the pod, rate and leave a review, and maybe share with a dog-owning friend. Let's get the word out there and ensure there is less guilt around the mistakes. Thank you again, and we'll be back next week.